So glad to be here. Children's Church is missing. Children's Church. Good to have a ministry for children, amen. They're our future. Y'all support these children now, because they're going to be the ones writing the checks when y'all get old. They're going to be taking care of us, so be nice to children. Well, I know, who cares? Yeah, who cares? Well, I'm again glad to be here. I'm glad to be able to address you from the Word. I hope that this Word today will be a blessing to you. I believe that the Lord is really directing us this year, and He's going to do some great things. Saved from what? We've been talking about that for about, 4 or 5 weeks since last year sometime. And, saved from the world, saved from the flesh, saved from the devil, saved from judgment, hell, and the lake of fire. We're saved from death. We're taught that we should overcome the world, that we should crucify the flesh, and that we should resist the devil. If you get that in the wrong sequence, you're fighting a losing battle. You're not going to overcome the devil. It's just not going to happen. He's too slick, and he's too crafty. He's a trickster. He knows his stuff. He knows men. He was back in the garden. He tricked the first man, and so we're how many centuries down? Don't tell me that you finally got him figured out. We don't got him figured out. But God tells us how to deal with the devil. We're to resist him. But first, before we can resist him, we must submit ourselves to God. And that's why a lot of times we lose the battle, because we're trying to resist the devil and we're not submitted to God. Work comes in submitting to God. You know why? Because you got to surrender. You've got to say, yes, Lord, you're the boss. And of course, Satan says, Lord, you're the boss. I don't like it, but you're the boss. If you try to overcome the flesh, if you try to resist the flesh, you know what resisting the flesh does? It stirs up more flesh. It's a very tricky thing here. I'm going to resist it. I'm not going to look at that thing. I'm not going to look at it. And all you do is just get more and more and more enthralled with it. And not only do you look at that, you go and buy some more to look at. And you go, what's going on? You're fighting it the wrong way. Yeah. We try to resist the world. Well, anyway, I think you got the clue. We need to fight these battles in the proper way. We've already been judged in Jesus. That's the good thing. We've already been judged in Jesus. Hell and the lake of fire is not in our future, because we've already been judged. So a Christian that's worried about hell, or Christians that's worried about the lake of, hey, brother, Michael is the name. Is that what I should call you? Should I call you Michael or Michelangelo? Everybody, this is Michelangelo. I've met him formally just the other day. Was working out. And Brother Michael is a beautiful Christian brother. Welcome. I'm so glad that you made it. I know it was a battle to get here, but thank God you made it. We're talking about Saved from What series. Overcome the world, crucify the flesh, and resist the devil. Do it in that manner, and you will win every time. But in order to do it, you've got to understand how that works. And in order to understand how that works, you've got to get into the Word and learn about it. Now, we can talk, and I'll give you what I can. But, you know, when a man teaches and when God teaches, two different teachers. Go ahead and say amen, because it's true. When a man teaches, like when Brother Bob asked me to come, I said, well, brother, I will pray about that and ask the Lord. And he told me, brother, there's some things you just don't have to pray about. You know what to do. And I'm like, well, I said, brother, I said, if it was left up to me, my answer already is yes, 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 1,000 times yes. But I need God to tell me it's okay. And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, go. Now, had I not prayed about it, every time B made me mad, I'd be ready to walk out. A bill hurt my feelings, I'm ready to walk out, see? Or somebody looked at me crossways, I'm ready to go, you see? But I have to listen to what God tells me to do. And I know I made you mad too, so I can say this because I know me and D had a nice, a very healthy thing going at the very beginning, you know. But praise God, God does his work. Amen. You're patient, God does his work. And now, what a wonderful experience we're having in him together. So we don't have hell and the lake of fire in our future if you belong to Jesus. And so don't spend a whole bunch of time worried about, well, if I did this, you think I'm going to go to hell. If you belong to Jesus, it's not in your future. You might sit there and watch the proceedings, but you won't be a part of it. That's not a Christian's lot. We were buried with Jesus, and we were raised with him to walk in newness of life. Saved from what? Saved from all of the calamities that originated in the natural father of ours, who was Adam. They were many. All of the calamities that came upon us through our natural father. We were all born with the nature of Adam. But in this, our last look at our Saved From What series, the final question today is going to be, saved by whom? And of course, the answer is none other than the victorious Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad today that you have blessed us to come. And Father, I know that every soul that's in this place today, you sent to hear today's word. Now, Father, help me to get out of your way. Lord, one thing we don't need is to hear from another man. We hear from men all the time. Lord, we need to hear from you. And to that end, Lord, I also pray that you'll even help those here to get out of the way so that they can hear from you as well. And that we all can receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's in your wonderful name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples to go to the cross. And he told them, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I was just looking here at this particular installment of scripture, and he said I quite a few times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 I's and a myself. So the I's have it. That makes it very personal. This was very personal when he made this statement. He was very personally saying that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen. Amen.
He can't lie, y'all.
No, he cannot.
He's coming again one day.
He's coming.
Yeah, he's coming. And I'm waiting. And I was like, I mean, just last week, Lord, you ain't here yet. Well, he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And he gives us the strength and ability to maintain until he comes. And if we live and die, he don't come. That's okay. He's got us covered in the grave. Amen. Oh, man, I tell you what. We're in a win-win situation. There's no losing in this thing. None at all. In John 16:33, he told them, he said, these things that I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Good cheer and tribulation. Again, the trick here, he said, is in me. So that means we've got to be in him, in him to have the peace. If it's going to be based upon what the world does and based upon what the world says and based upon what your friends do and based upon what your friends say, based upon what your wife do, based upon what your husband do, if it's going to be based upon anything besides him, you're going to have a problem with peace.
That's right.
You're going to have a problem with peace. I was struggling here weeks ago and went to a store, and a preacher walked in and started playing a song. And I sung it here one Sunday. And what was the name of that song? Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And one thing I did not have at that moment was joy. And he just, I asked him afterwards, I said, why did you do that? Why did you play that song? He said, well, I'm just like this. I need to get it out. So the Lord told him to sit down at the piano and play that song. Why? Because one of his children was struggling with joy. And I don't know if that preacher knew the day where I was. Because he was trying to get out the door, and I was steady in his place stopping him. I want to talk some more. Because I was hurting, you see. And he was telling me, trying. I kept him here with me, see. And when he walked out, I was free. And my joy had been restored. And I said, I'm going to learn that song. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not the joy of the home, though you can have joy in the home. See, it's not the joy of the job. So you can have joy in the job if you're in him. But these jobs are, to me, they're almost made to destroy. You see, they really come against you. They really hurt you. They're always telling you, you do the best that you can all the time, and they're always telling you what you're not doing. And they're telling you how you're doing it wrong. And they're telling you how you need to do it better. Then they're threatening you to fire you if you don't get it better in 3 months. Well, okay. A month. Some of it's a month. And put the pressure on. And man, if you ain't in Jesus, that joy is going right out the window. It's gone. But if you are in him, and listen, the battle is for the mind. The battle is for the mind. It's not your circumstances so much as it is you. The battle is for the mind. So let's fight the good fight. John 6:63. Jesus made a statement. Not just coming down talking about the world, the flesh, the devil, and that kind of thing, how Jesus dealt with them. And this is just a clear abstract. There's so much more to this, of course, than we can cover. So much more. We'll never uncover all of the wonderful things Jesus did, even in glory. We still won't uncover it all. But thank God for the little bit that we have, because it's so thrilling. John 6:63, he said, it is the Spirit that quickens. That means to give life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words of Jesus are spirit and they are life. Well, what did he mean by this? What did he mean? The spirit respects and follows the way as expressed through Jesus. It respects and it follows the way of God as expressed through Jesus. The flesh respects and follows man's ways as expressed through our natural practices. It's the natural part of us. It's humanism in its highest form, identified by Jesus as the operation of the flesh. And so the flesh that profits nothing is that part that follows the fleshly way, the worldly way. And you look for your solutions in this thing called the world, which, by the way, is your enemy. It truly works against us. So here's a case in point. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked several questions of his disciples. Well, whom do men say that I am? And they answered that. Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're this prophet. Some say that you're Elias. You're this, you're that. Then he asked, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter correctly answered. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus blessed Peter because of his answer. And he proclaimed Peter flesh and blood. flesh and blood had not revealed this to him. But as Jesus said, he said, my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. This was Matthew 16, 1 through 17. Fast forward to Matthew 16, 21 through 23. Jesus began to share with them that soon he would be put to death by the hands of sinners, wicked men. That he spoke to them of his burial, but the fact that he would be raised again on the third day. But Peter did not like. Remember Peter that God had just spoke to? God spoke through Peter. He said, you are blessed. He didn't like what Jesus was saying. The first part was great, but he didn't like this part. And so Peter, you know what he did? He took Jesus off to, he took Jesus aside. In other words, it's almost like he said, come here, let me chat with you. You ever had someone say, let me pull you, I'm going to talk to you about it. He pulled Jesus off to the side. And in verse 22, he said these words. He said, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be. In other words, have pity on yourself. Now, don't be so hard on yourself. This shall not be. He rebuked Jesus. Peter rebuked Jesus. Now, this caused Jesus' immediate answer. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Why? Because thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.
Amen.
That's what he said. Blessed are you, Simon. Get behind me, Satan. Great example of the spirit giving life and the flesh profiting nothing.
That's right.
And that caused Jesus to identify him with satanic purposes. And the identification of the satanic purposes was linked to the things that are important to men. Now, y'all need to hear what I'm saying here because, listen, when we go about our own way and go about the world's way and go make it happen and do it my way and do it my way, you are closer to operating in the satanic purposes than you know.
Amen.
You're going to fix it? Really? You're going to turn it around? Really? What do you know about what's going on? What do you know about the unseen? What do you know about what Satan is doing? What do you know about what God is doing? If you are going to fix it, you got a whole lot of trouble coming your way. Because you're doing it in man's strength and in man's way. Listen, there's one word that will help you through this, and that word is called surrender. And man, we got trouble with surrender. Especially us men. I'd be sick as a dog, but I'm going to shake this. Can't raise my head up, but I'm going to shake this. Everyone, you know, thank God for a wife because she, you need to do something. She can see, but I can't. I'm a man. I'm going to shake this. You know, some things you can't shake. Some of these things will take you under. You'll be through. And they say, you look good yesterday. And so keep this in mind. When you're challenged in life, and we are challenged in life, just remember, God's got it. God's got it. It's in him. It is indeed the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit. So listen, every question that you have, and I had a lady tell me this years ago, which I found hard really to swallow. But she says, every question that you have is answered in the Bible. Y'all got so still. Y'all got so still. I know what you're thinking about is like. It is true. Every question that you have. Now, you might have to do some digging. You guys might have to do some digging, and we don't like digging. We don't like work. We don't like being stopped in our tracks. And we get stopped in our tracks, we're kind of ready to stop. Just, well, it must not be there, but it's there. You have to pray and say, Lord, that man, as crazy as he sounded, said that every question that I have is in your Bible. Now, when I started out reading the Bible, I would hit bumps all the time. But you know what I learned to do? I learned to ask him, what does this mean? What in the world are you saying? You been there? I'm like, Lord, are you serious? Is this what you want? Because it don't seem right to me. It's okay. It's okay. That he's not threatened by your questions. He's not threatened by your doubt. He's not going to fall off his throne and start crying and say, oh, Lord, Leroy has dealt me again. He's going to stand back. And he'll give you the answer if you sincerely want the answer. Granted, sincerely want it, because it might not be what you think it is. And it might turn out not to be what you hoped it would be. You been there?
Yeah,
it's like, why did I ask? Why did I ask? Now I got it. Now I got to deal with it. Paul said in Romans 7:8, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So listen, y'all, be careful. Galatians 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Jesus saved us from being hopelessly under fleshly control. We do not have to be under fleshly control. If we are, it's only because we choose to, not because we have to. Before Jesus, you had no choice. You walked under fleshly control. Before Jesus, you had no choice. Satan was your God. And no matter what you say about, well, I'll be okay, I'm going to do what God says, you are not going to do what the Bible God say. If you are under Satan's control, you're going to do what Satan tells you to do, because he is the God of those that don't have Jesus. Now, I watched briefly the other night the Image Awards. What was that Image Awards? Black History Image Awards. People were winning trophies, and they come up and they'll cry and say, I thank God. Folks like, yeah, I thank my God. And folks like, amen. If they start, I thank my God. Yeah. And I'm going like, mm-hmm. And then one came and said, I'm going to give thanks and praise to the one and only one that's truly worthy of praise, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. And walked off. I said, that's the one. That's the one out of all of those that knew Jesus. The rest of them were just posing, styling, and profiling because it's popular to say God. But look, Muslims say God. Hindus say God. Rastafarians say God. Name them. They all use God. But our God has a name, and his name is? Amen. See? When someone gets up there in the cameras and they're out there in the public like T-Boy and these other ones, and they say Jesus Christ, that man is committed. He doesn't have to say it. He can just go the easy way and say God like everyone else. And nobody, notice, no one ever gets mad when you say God. They say, well, some of them say, well, that's those God freaks. But when you say Jesus, the knives come out. Mm-hmm. The knives come out. When you say Jesus, you're a fair game. There's some countries, you say Jesus, you're pretty much dead. They will kill you. And the folks will celebrate in the streets. Yeah. Over your body.
Amen.
Thank God, not here. But, you know, in some other countries, they will. They will take you out for this. Yeah. In Luke 10, Jesus sent 70 powerful evangelists out. He paired them in twos. That would be 35 pairs. And sent them over the cities and places where he was going to visit. He gave specific instructions about how to go about this evangelistic effort, how to carry out their mission. In Luke 10:17 through 20, we read this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, they submit to us when we speak. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is Jesus' response. Mm-hmm. Then he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions mm-hmm. and over all of the power of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, he said, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
That's why you rejoice. Not because now, I've had dealings with demons, and it's a very exciting thing. It is very exciting, but what do I get from that? Nothing much. Because God is going to deal with the devil and his demons with the lake of fire. They're already condemned. So he says, what you doing? It's like fishing in a barrel full of fish. You got fish in there, you don't feed them, and you put a worm on the hook and you put it, yeah, you're going to catch something there in the barrel.
Right.
Throw out in the deep, see. And so he's saying, look, don't get so happy because the demons are subject to you. But the one reason you should rejoice is because your name is written in heaven. Why? Because you don't have the second death. You don't have the lake of fire. You don't have that to have to deal with. That's why you rejoice. You don't have to worry about judgment. You don't have to worry about this bad thing that's coming upon unbelieving men. Rejoice for that. For your future. Now Jesus said, he said, I saw Satan as fast as lightning fall from heaven. You know how fast that is? That's the speed of light. I lose that. 376,000 miles per second. That is fast. It's like when you turn that light on, it's on. It's like, boom, it's on. I saw Satan, in other words, I saw Satan at the speed of light fall from heaven. Now, what Revelation chapter 12, 7 will color this in for us. It says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Can you imagine heaven? And there's a war in heaven, like there was one over in the Middle East. Yeah. A war in heaven. Well, I don't know what kind of instruments of war they had, but a war is a very, very destructive thing to happen.
Right.
And there was war in heaven. And it talked about the head, the leader of one side. Michael was the leader and his angels.
Right.
And the dragon and his angels. And they were fighting one against the other. And the Bible says that the dragon prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. No more in heaven. And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And where do we live? And his angels were cast out with him. So, well, where did he come from? He came from heaven. Down, and he was cast out into the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother.
Yeah. That's why you resist the devil. You don't overcome him. Because you can't even see this. And they're all around. See? And when Jesus said that he saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, he could have been talking about one or two things, or maybe both. As Jesus Christ, the God-man, the man of God, or as a man, could have had a prophetic vision, as Isaiah and some of the other ones have these visions, Ezekiel with their visions, all of the prophets, the major and the minor prophets in their vision. He could have had a vision as a man, or as the word or the logos recorded in John chapter 1, he actually witnessed the heavenly war and the expulsion of Satan from heaven as God. That Jesus as God saw him before he took upon him a flesh body. There was one or two things. Either he witnessed this as a prophetic vision as a man, or he witnessed it as the Logos. Now John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and that's Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he could have seen it as Logos. But later it says, and the Word, or the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning was the Word. The Word in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In John 4, 3 or 4, he says, God is a spirit.
Right.
And so that means that he was in the form of a spirit as a Logos. And so now, you know what I see? You know what I see? I see the Logos. That's what I see. I see the Logos as the after the expulsion of Satan from heaven. I see him come down from heaven to finish Satan off. That's what I see. He came down and became a man. I see him come down to finish him off, to complete the job. When Jesus came down, I believe he came down to finish the job. So he got kicked out of heaven. He stopped on the earth. Where does God come? To the earth in the form of a man. He came to finish the work. And after the conclusion of the war in heaven, Revelation 12, in verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens. That means they were kind of like partying, sort of, you know, a very happy mood, atmosphere. Rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down. He's come down unto you, having great wrath. That means he is mad as all get out. Because he knows that he hath but a short time. Look, you're not going to make peace with the devil. You can't shake his hand. You can't give him a gentleman's handshake. He's not a gentleman. You can't treat him like a lover. He's not a lover. He's full of hate. And if he feign love, he's lying, because he's a liar, the Bible says, and he's the father of it. He was a liar from the beginning, and he beheld not in the truth. He remained not in the truth. And folks say, well, why is y'all always coming against the devil? Because he ain't no good. Now, we've got a lot of men that ain't no good. And they're being directed by the devil. Y'all know any no good men around? The only thing that's important is them. What y'all laughing about? Only thing that's important is them. They want it their way. Don't care nothing about nobody else. I want mine. Give me mine. The world owes me something. They ain't no good. They are tools of the devil. And they're spreading that junk all around. And then they're telling the young men that this is how you're supposed to be. They're spreading Satan's doctrine. They ain't no good. We got a lot of no good folks around. And it's spilling over to the women. There's a lot of no good women around too. All right. That's not in my notes, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. You know, the devil is mad. He's angry because he knows that his time is short. Now look, to us, it's been a long time. But to him, it's not. Because with us, our lifetime is like, I can't wait till I get to be 12 years old. You remember that?
Yeah.
I can't wait till I get to be 12 years old, man. My alarm's going to be $1.50, and then I can go buy all the bubblegum I want. And I can't wait till I get to be 18 years old, then I can drive. And I can't wait until I get 21 years old, then I can drink. And then you get up to about 20 or 30, you say, Lord, I sure wish I was 12 years old. Life was so good when I didn't have no bills and had nothing to worry about. Mom and Daddy just took care of everything. Gave me a dollar and sent me on my way. And it seemed like it's such a long ways away while you're waiting. But it's not a long ways, a year. It's just nothing. You know, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is just one day with him. So in the spirit, time is not the same. Matter of fact, it's in eternity. It's not the same as it is with us. We count time by seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years. And we count each one. One, two, three, three, three. As long as you're watching it, it goes slow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What they say, a watching pot never boils? Well, that's not true, but it seems like it takes forever to boil.
Yeah.
Well, it's not true either. You're just watching it and you're counting the seconds. Go somewhere and come back and look every now and then. It'll stop boiling. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying about how we look at time. But in Satan, he knows that his time is short. And that's why he's mad. Because his time is short. And Jesus is going to complete. And matter of fact, he has completed the job. 1 John 3:7-8 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that does righteousness is righteous. That's it. Don't complicate it. He that does righteousness is righteous. Even as he, God, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, he that commits, lives, and practices sin, I don't care if you sit up in church every Sunday for the last 10 years, and we got them. They praise the Lord and dance all up around the place and call his name and fall out, and folks fanning them. And, you know, they lose their hat and their wig and everything, and they say the Holy Ghost got her. Well, that's right, you know. Something got her. But it ain't holy. Because if you step on a shoes on the way from here to the car, she'll cuss you out. You know that, right? Someone will cuss you out in traffic. And you say, wait a minute, wasn't you just in service shot? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. God's still working on me. Amen. You know. And so we got that to deal with. That's run me from a mini church. I left running, me and my children, my babies, my wife. It goes on to say, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. And this is why he was manifested, to that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. I say that Jesus was like a bounty hunter. He came down to get Satan. Because he knew that the same stuff that he did in heaven, he's now on the earth. And he's going to do the same thing. And he did. Started with Adam. And he deceived the woman and took the authority from Adam's hand. And he's been running this thing like this. It's just evil. Just, you don't go up to the corner and take, just start walking down. You'll see. The young lady, you get out there and start walking down the street, and how many times somebody going to blow at you? Go, hey, Brown Slim. You shouldn't be walking. You can ride. I'm safe. Now, you know he ain't. But he's going to say that. These kinds, he that practices sin is of the devil. Don't say, well, he's a nice moral person. Look, y'all, don't complicate it. He that does righteousness is righteous. He that practices sin is of the devil. As simple as that. Say, but that's my daddy. I'm sorry. But if he's practicing sin, he's being led by the devil. God is not going to respect your grandma. Because she's your grandma, you respect God, but she's your grandma, and she's practicing sin. God's going to say, well, it's OJ's grandma, so we'll kind of turn and look the other way. No, you're not. Grandma, he's going to deal with grandma, too. That's how that is. He's no respecter of persons. See? And so we love these people, but, you know, listen, all of our relatives are not going to heaven. They're not. So you might as well get ready, because there's some folks you're not going to see there. You can love them, and try to witness and tell them about the Lord all you can, and hopefully they'll hear you. But if they fight it and they don't receive it, they're not going to heaven. Folks won't say that a lot, but that's the God's honest truth. Now Hebrews 2:14 addresses Jesus' saving work and with death. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So you can't tell me he didn't come going after the devil. He tracked him. From heaven, he became a man. The only way he could get into death was he had to die. Well, as the Logos, as God, he can't die. God don't die. But he had to become a man so that he could experience death in order to track the devil into this thing, death. So that's why he became a man. But he came to redeem mankind, who were all the time in bondage and fear of death. And it was the devil that kept that. So, even in death, it says, through death. And you say, well, wait a minute. The devil has always shut men up by killing. I know what? This big mouth, all I got to do is if I kill him, then he's out of the way. I don't have to worry about him again. I'll make a wonderful example of him, and the others that were following him will scatter and run.
Right.
Just like the disciples did when they grabbed Jesus. They took off and run and hid. They were afraid. And the same pattern continued on even with the disciples, but the women were not intimidated. They stayed around, hung around. So y'all leave the women alone with this now. Okay? The women showed some bravery. They showed up at the tomb. They watched the far off. They kept an eye on what was going on. They showed up at the tomb. It was a woman that he spoke to first. It was a woman that he sent the message through first to the disciples. And you know, the knuckleheads still didn't believe her. I don't know how you got in. It was locked up. I don't know if they had a special knock or what, but they were hiding away. But it was through death. And I turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. And what I want to say is that not only did he come to destroy the work of the devil, but listen, Jesus came to destroy the devil himself. He came to destroy the devil himself. Now, if you know, if you go out to your car and you try to turn the engine over and it won't turn over, you say, my battery's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you mean? It's still there. It's sitting there. But what's wrong? Well, it's dead. It has no power in it. Well, the only way you can do is either jump it off if it's got something left in it, or you get rid of it because it's no longer there. But the casing of the battery is still there. But Satan is still operational and functional, but he has no authority over believers. None whatsoever. Now, here in 1 Corinthians, of course, Revelation 20 talks about Satan's final demise, and we spoke about that last week. But in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us about one enemy, and this is the very last enemy, your enemy and mine, and that's death. And it says, tells us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Not the devil, but death. The devil is already taken care of, but death. So 1 Corinthians 15, 49, we will start there. I'll go into 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Then he says, I want you to look at something. Behold, look at something. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. It's almost like he's whispering. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We're going to be made different. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the twinkling of an eye is too fast. They can time it, but you can, I can't. You can't. I mean, it's hard to conceive how quick the twinkling of an eye is. It'll happen just that fast. I'll be looking at Brother Michelangelo, and he'll change, and I won't even realize it. And he'll be different. I don't know if he'll effervesce or whatever will happen with that change, but it'll be different. And it says it'll happen just that fast. And he also says this, and there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. Listen, you will hear a trumpet sound, but everybody else won't. You'll hear it, but everybody else that's not in Christ won't. It's a spiritual sound that will be made for the redeemed to hear. That means you could be sitting at your desk talking to your boss and hear a trumpet. And you could say, did you hear that? You're supposed to hear what? Say, there it is again. It's a trumpet. It's a what? It's a trumpet. You don't hear that? It's so loud. You don't hear that? She's going like, woo, woo, woo. We'll hear that trumpet. A trumpet will sound. That's what the Bible says. Not the world, but for you. When Christ comes, he's not going to come and touch the earth. He's going to be above the earth. And he's going to call his church out. He's coming back again when he's going to touch the earth, but not this time. He's secretly coming to take us. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? He's going to come and take us. Oh, man. And the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. So the first thing that's going to happen is grandma's going to get raised up first. If she made it, if she took the Lord. And we'll be on the earth, and you say, Grandma? She looks just like Grandma. So I'm your grandmama, fool. Don't you recognize me? But you're supposed to be dead. Not anymore, baby. Not anymore. Man, now listen, this is what our Savior Jesus has in store for us. Then we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, we have to put on a kind of body that can be adapted to heaven. Right. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, but we're going to be changed, and we're going to have a body that's adaptable to heaven so that we can take off with him and survive in that new atmosphere. Right. But our bodies won't, but it's going to be one that is adaptable. So when this corrupt corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. How did Jesus destroy this death and sin? If the strength of sin is the law, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he came and he kept the law. And when he fulfilled the law, he took the sting out of death through the fulfillment of the law. As long as that law is in operation, even today, if you go and get under the law, all the law can do is tell you about your sin. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. I'm leaving these up here, but listen, thou shalt not this, thou shalt. And you get down there, and you do, you go through all 10, and you say, my goodness, I couldn't keep 5. Yeah, and you go, I got 8 of them, but I missed 2 and 10. And you, you miss one, you miss, And you say, I'm going to work. I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to covet, I'm not going to. And you get down, and you go down, and you say, oh, wow, I missed that. You can't do this. All it does is tell you how bad you are. That's all the law does. And people that try to keep the law, and they go pointing in your face about the law, say, man, get your head out of my face. Why are you keeping the law? Jesus completed the law. And in him, we have completed the law. And in him, we're victorious over sin. Well, why do you still sin? Because you want to. Not because you have to. Oh, you're hearing this now. Now, don't say that. That woman, she shouldn't have said what she said to me and I wouldn't have hit her side of the head. Don't say that. You didn't have to do that. You have authority over sin. And that sin, they're going to lock you up if she tell. Well, I know it ain't scriptural, but say amen anyway, because they're going to get you. Now, you don't have to do these things because in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we have authority. We have overcome. We have overcome the world. We resisted the devil. And we crucified the flesh. We have that ability in us with Christ. We can do this. We can. We can walk in victory over life. Death is swallowed up. Death is swallowed up in victory. Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Now, let me say this to you. I feel led to say this to you. Things don't always go right. We have problems. Sometimes men and women, husbands and wives fall out. It seems like the end of the world. It really does. If she and I have a disagreement, I'm like, why am I even here anymore? I don't need this anymore. Because the most important thing to me is God and my wife and my family. And if we got trouble, only God gives me the strength to want to still hang on, because really there's not much left here. There's nothing more that I want, you know. We have trouble. Hey, y'all, tongue and teeth fall out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It does. Mm-hmm. You bite your tongue. But you don't put your teeth out because you bite your tongue. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have trouble. Things happen. But that's no reason to just walk away dejected. Because it's all in his hands. And all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So you have need of patience to wait for the will of God to be performed. And sometimes it doesn't always perform. You perform the way that you expect it, but it will always, always be performed. And if you know him and you belong to him, it's going to work together for good for you. It will. It may take a week, a month, a year, but it will work together for good. But you have need of patience. And meanwhile, surrender to Him. And surrender to His will. Surrender to His way. And listen, while you're waiting, you could be getting this work done. Because there's work to be done in all of us. And if a situation is aggravating you, guess what? There's work to be done in you. Okay, everybody say it. Because you know it's true now. I want it my way. But it don't always need to be my way. Sometimes if it be my way, we got a mess on our hands. Y'all got a mess with me up here if I have it my way. Y'all pray for me, right? That I'll stay in His will. See? So, Father, we thank You for Your word today. Thank You for those that came to hear Your word, Lord. You woke them up and You stirred them to come because You, Lord, wanted to say something directly to them. So, Lord, I hope I've obeyed You. I've done what I know to do and tried to stay on script. That's a challenge there for me, but Father, we just bless Your name. Thank You for this wonderful, beautiful series. Save from what?